Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom old. Episode 15 comes with lots of trigger warnings because Stitch talked with me about Hannibal Lecter and Will Graham from the TV show Hannibal. And needless to say, a pairing involving a cannibal doesn't exactly lend itself to fluffy happiness. It does, however, lead to some interesting discussions, and Stitch's enthusiasm almost made me want to overcome my own cannibalism squick and check out this ship. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship, and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fan works might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast. In addition to the Ko-Fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers.
In addition to the spoiler warning, I want to reiterate that this podcast touches on various themes that aren't everybody's cup of tea, mainly of course cannibalism. Still, I had a lot of fun talking to Stitch, so much so that I decided to give you an almost unedited version of our chat, including some detours, most notably a shared interest in Asian TV shows. If you decide that you can take talk about murder, cannibalism and ABO fix, I hope you enjoy our unfiltered fandom conversation as much as I did.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea,
So, Hi, Stitch. How are you?
I'm awesome. Oh. Thank you for having me.
That sounds good.
Yeah, no, I've been really excited. My small nieces are over, and I kicked them out of the room. I was like, okay, you guys need to go because I am podcasting today, and you can't hear what I'm going to be talking about.
How old are they?
13 and 15. The 15-year-old follows me on Twitter, so she actually knows about this.
Yeah, okay.
But the 13-year-old is like, okay.
Yeah. Fine. Maybe with the show that we are talking about, she's a little bit too young.
Yeah, this is not her thing at all.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so thanks for making time.
This is gonna be really great. I was really pleased when Holly reached out to me about it. I was like, ah, yes.
Yeah, you get to talk about something you love, and I get to listen, which is I love. Yeah,
it's so much fun.
Yeah, that's the whole idea behind this podcast. It's just I like it if when people are enthusiastic about stuff. So.
Well, I'm very excited about Hannibal and Will, so.
So, but maybe before we get into that, why don't you introduce yourself?
All right, I'm Stitch. My name's Xena, but everyone who knows me in fandom calls me Stitch. It's the last part of a username that has traveled with me across like 10 years of fandom. I'm a freelance writer and marketing minion living in Florida. I'm always sweaty, but always in sweaters. Let's see. I can talk about Holly, who is on the previous episode, who nominated me. I've known Holly for three years, I believe. We bonded over our love of Finn in Star Wars because he's perfect. He's just a good boy. Also our mutual like hatred of how he was being treated in fandom. So we bonded over love and hate at the same time because it was like, wow, Finn is really great. I want to see where the source takes him. And then we get into the fandom and the fandom's like, what if Finn died but also was a racist stereotype, but it was so frustrating.
That's pretty much what the last episode was all about.
Yeah. Holly is brilliant. And I love that she thought of me and that I'm able to be one of her fandom friends.
Yes, fandom friends are awesome.
They are.
We have like this, you know, like this base, like not, I don't know, like this common ground.
Yeah, like this intense love or sometimes intense hate. I have friendships that are solely because we hate one weird thing. And we're never letting it go. It's always like, hey, remember that thing we hate? Let's talk about that. But most of my time in fandom has been with friends. We bond over love and a little bit of the hate. I've been, sorry, because I have the outline thingy up.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
no, I was just gonna ask where, so what other fandoms you've been in?
All right, so a lot. Mostly as a lurker. I started being in fandom when I was maybe 10 or 11, so 2001. And so I moved from book fandoms like Harry Potter, even Shadowhunters, or whatever the books are actually called.
Oh, Immortal Instruments.
Yes. Yeah, so I moved, because those fandoms actually go together, really. I moved from there to different TV show fandoms.
Sorry, it just clicked why they go together.
Yeah. Because Cassandra Clare.
Cassandra Clare.
She took the, well, she didn't really take the serial numbers off, but she kind of did. Yeah. It's not as bad though as like the Teen Wolf fandom. The Teen Wolf fandom spawned a bunch of like Alpha Beta Omega stories that you can like buy on Amazon, which I have done. I have bought ABO stories. I love them, and we're going to talk more about that in the context of Teen Wolf.
So Teen Wolf was another fandom.
Mm-hmm. Teen Wolf was another one of my fandoms. I love it. That was another love-hate fandom because it was like, wow, this fandom has really good content, but also is not very nice about the main character, who is not the center of the content. So it was like, I love Steric. I genuinely do love Steric. Not maybe in the context of the show, because Styles is a teenager in the show, and I'm not a teenager, so I don't find that attractive. Ugh. But post series Steric was my jam. I loved the idea of like what happens once all the werewolfy nonsense is done. Where do they go? And the fandom was really good about that. And that's about it. Yeah. Also superhero fandoms. I was in the DC fandom as my main fandom from maybe 2010 to 2016. They just lost me. They had too many reboots, and it was hard to keep track of what I was rewriting. So I don't hate the fandom. I just felt, you know, like you get into something, but then it stops being the thing you got into. And the comics made it hard for me and for a lot of people in the fandom to keep going. So that sucked. But one day they'll do a reboot that I can get back on track with, and I'll go back to writing ridiculous Batman stories. Yeah.
Yeah, aren't they recasting him right now?
It's Robert Pattinson. He's the front runner. And like, I saw four of the five Twilight movies. And I my second boyfriend, we went on a date to see New Moon. I was like, so I work at this theater, and we get in for free, but also I really want to see this. I didn't even give him a choice. I was like, we're going to see this. I was Team Jacob, but I understand some of the appeal of Edward, especially as fandom rewrites him. So Robert Pattinson for me is pretty much like, okay, you're going to cast Batman and make him younger? Go for it. Robert Pattinson is probably the best choice. He's already played the pasty, emotionally inept rich boy. Let's do it.
I really don't know much about Twilight. It's one of those things that I kind of, like, I know everything about, I know about it is through fandom osmosis, which is also the case with, like, Hannibal, or Teen Wolf, or pretty much all the fandoms that you listed. But yeah, I mean, it's astonishing how much information one can garner just from being friends with people who are in other fandoms.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite thing. Like, I've learned so much about fandoms like I wasn't really into, and then I end up getting into the fandom. That's like I'm sort of in the K-pop fandom because like I really love BTS, and like, but seeing other people talk about the group and get invested was what made me go, oh, maybe I want to look at some stuff with these guys. Maybe I want to listen to some music. I went from not being able to tell you, like, I knew everybody's names for BTS. I was like, there are seven members, here are their names, but I couldn't put them to faces. To, I have the new CD that came out, and they come out with different, you get four different versions. I have all four versions.
Oh, yeah, that's dedication.
I went from 0 to 60 in like a really short amount of time that I don't tell people how short it is, because when you realize the period of time, it's like, oh, that's a
yeah, that's me and Guardian. I kind of fell into that head first. And now I now know all these Chinese words and stuff.
Okay. Like, I want to, like, separately talk to you about, like, East Asian media. Like, not this, like, but, like, let's be East Asian media friends.
No.
Let's do this. Because, yeah.
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely. I'm Guardian, and then I follow various
boys I'm love behind shows. On pretty much anything that is not available on Netflix. So... or because I'm also super into Korean dramas, but not on a fandom level, because I don't know if there's a Western fandom mm-hmm. for Korean dramas. I don't know.
I know at least one person. I know at least one person. I haven't gotten into Korean dramas yet because I gotten distracted by Thai boys love shows. So. But it's probably only a matter of time.
Or you end up like me. I've been watching Chinese dramas out of nowhere because I went from, I'm going to do is watch the same Korean drama over and over again to, Netflix has six more Chinese dramas set in high schools? All right. This makes me feel old. But let's do it.
Yeah, I guess I'm a bit wary about Chinese dramas right now because Guardian just broke my heart and stamped on it.
The one drama I recommend because it is so fluffy is Love O2O. It is there little to no angst, and like you, I love angst, but
nice.
There's no need to be crying mm-hmm. in like a bathroom when you're like, oh no, this person didn't get what I like. No, Love O2O. If you're like, I've just watched the saddest drama ever. My heart is broken. My feelings. They are sad. Love O2O is a really good palate cleanser because you're like, this is really cute.
Okay, I have to remember that one. Yeah. So we just kind of went off topic here. Oops. As happens when two fans come together. But to get kind of back on track, so you've been in several fandoms, and are you like, what sort of fan are you? Are like a multi-shipper?
Across the fandoms, I usually have a primary ship. So I guess an OTP, but I am a multi-shipper. So the only reason I don't have other ships in Hannibal from the show is because like that is the ship that like dominated, you know, like everything about the fandom became about Will's relationship with Hannibal. But for like the Teen Wolf fandom, I ship Steric, but I also ship Styles, Derek, and Scott, or Scott and Derek. So I'm very much a multi-shipper. Okay. There are a few ships I hate, but for the most part, I'll ship anything if I can rewrite it. You know, like, so something that's problematic or disturbing in one context, if I know that, like, I can make myself comfortable with it, essentially, I will try anything once. Mm-hmm. Or more than once. If it's good, I'm in.
So, how did you get into, like, if you say that if something is problematic you have to rewrite it, does that mean that you basically have to change everything about Hannibal?
You're gonna have to give me a quick primer. So on Hanagram, which is the name squish for Hannibal Lecter and Hannibal Lecter, who is played by Mads Mikkelsen, Will Graham, who's played by Hugh Dancy, it's like my favorite non-canon slash ship, just putting that out there because it is. And so it's weird, they inhabit a weird sort of canon, sort of not canon space, if you think of canon as these two characters have kissed and expressed their love, they're not canon because or express their love in that I love you period, you know? But the relationship that Will and Hannibal have is very complicated, and it is very intimate it is also very queer. And I'm not the kind of person usually to be like, oh, this is a headcanon, but I feel it so strongly it's canon. But the one of the first things I got into the ship for was because I was looking at clips, this was like years ago, I followed all of these Hanagram shippers, and they're posting all these clips, and I'm like, wow, he really looks at Will like something. And like, maybe it's because he wanted to eat Will.
That would have been my first guess.
Yeah. But
having just seen Silence of the Lambs and nothing else.
I recommend Hannibal Rising because Gaspard Ulliel plays Hannibal and he has a dimple.
I really cannot watch horror movies. Like,
okay, don't watch it, don't watch it. Because that movie is bad.
Yeah. I watched Silence of the Lambs like in a group situation when I was like a teenager.
Oh.
I wouldn't watch it now. Yeah. The cannibalism is like a big squick for me.
So actually that kind of moves us back to the problematic thing. So a lot of people who know me, like I'm actually very vocal when it comes to like media and fandom criticism. Mm-hmm. And so I talk a lot about what problematic media or fandom is and how we can, I guess, be better fans or more aware of what we're doing. And so whenever I say all of this and I go, I really love Hannibal and Will, people are like, okay, but you don't like Kylo Ren and Rey because you said that it's manipulative and Hannibal eats people and manipulates Will. And I'm like, you are correct that this is a thing that I have said and that I am shipping. And part of my interest in Hanagram comes from the fact that I really love horror. Giant baby, but I will watch the horror movie. I just won't sleep again for a couple of days. So I started getting into Hannibal because of that Gaspard Ulliel movie, Hannibal Rising, because, and this is going to be, I've said this aloud to actual people face to face. I'm not like outing myself as a weirdo, but there's this thing called the erotics of cannibalism. And it is about, it's like weirdly literary cultural thing about like how the consumption of flesh is erotic. And I was like, this is interesting. Let's think about that some more. And
I don't want to judge you, but I just had a cold, like, that was like cold down my back.
So, and I know my nieces can hear me, so they're probably like, wow. Wow. But no,
as an anthropologist, I can kind of see, like, I know like that in some cultures, consummation of an enemy's flesh can give you the imbue you with the power of stuff like that. So yeah, okay, let's just.
So it's related to that, yeah. And then I decided to start reading the books. I've read some of the Hannibal books, and they were okay. They really weren't that well written. So I went from being like, oh man, Gaspard Ulliel, babe, Hannibal, yes, to the kind of dry books. And like my Hannibal love kind of waned. But then everybody started talking about the show and about how Hanagram was like the best ship and it was this and it was that. And from what I'd known of the Will Hannibal relationship in the books, it wasn't that intimate or the level of intimate that the show has. So I start seeing all these gift sets and I'm like, this is a squick that Hannibal is he's the thing I hated about Hannibal was that he gaslights Will in the show. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And it's just from the gift sets. And I start the fanfic, and the fanfic is weirdly largely like, yeah, no, that's the one thing we're not okay with either. And I'm like, okay, so we're all weirdly okay with Hannibal eating people but not gaslighting. And I was like, one of those things is definitely illegal and also immoral and also unsanitary. And Worrying. So worrying. And like,
but
I never
found your
good.
People.
Yeah, I found my people. And actually, I was at a conference in April, the Pop Culture Association. It's of America, Pop Culture Association of America National Conference. Mm-hmm. And I am pretty sure I brought up Hannibal every single day I was there. I wasn't even presenting on Hannibal. I was talking about fandom. And yet, I think I even brought up Hannibal in maybe in either the presentation or the round table. I, at some point, I was like, cannibalism. I'm just, I never felt judged, and I never feel judged. Mm-hmm. No one has ever, like, aside from the, okay, but you hate this problematic shit, but love Hannagram, no one has been like, worried. So that's been really great, but also a little worrying on my part, because I'm like, wow, you guys are so accepting.
But you know, we do live in a world where they have, you know, like incest chips on Game of Thrones and stuff like that, so.
Oh, well, I feel like we're getting is a little more.
Yeah. But then, you know, then we do love movies like that. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the Hannibal franchise is one of the, like, the show was super popular. And then the movies, I think, Silence of the Lambs, I think, was one of the movies that, it was one of the first horror, outright horror movies to, like, get nominated for Best Picture. I don't know if it, I don't remember if it won, but.
I was a bit too young, like.
I
can't
also
remember either.
Been too young, and I didn't see it until I was like 12, which is still too young to see that. But
yeah. I mean, I from your fandom timeline, I can tell that we're about 10 years apart. I'm older than you.
Yay!
But yeah, so yeah, the yeah, we have a big fascination with as a culture.
Yeah,
and all those movies,
it's the
and
deaths
and
rewatch in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. And like I said, I don't really know much about the show itself. How long did it run for?
It had 3 seasons, covering I think 3 seasons each, covering most of one of the books. And it made stuff up because some things didn't work with Brian Fuller's vision that were in the original books, because Brian Fuller, the director, is really a really lush visual guy. Like, he's doing, or he did American Gods, the first season. I don't think he's on it now, and he's attached to the Interview with the Vampire the Vampire Chronicles series that Hulu is supposed to be doing. So he's all about lush, gay, like, decadence.
Yeah. Yeah, and the show, is it primarily focused on Hannibal and Will's relationship?
So the core of Hannibal is that it is a police procedural. So every episode focuses on a monster of the week kind of thing. So, like, a serial killer that does something specific and gross. But then overarching, in the first season, it's trying to figure out who the Chesapeake Bay Ripper is. And he's a serial killer that kills other serial killers, sort of. But it's Hannibal. And we figure that out really early on as the viewer. But then, like, you have to watch Will kind of be like, it could be Hannibal, but it could also be this completely semi-unrelated person. And the different plots, it stops really being a police procedural in the, like, last season, where it focuses more on this. The third season really focuses a lot on Will and Hannibal's relationship with each other, and the kind of logical ending of that relationship, because Will starts the series as this, like, idealistic, you know, he's a little jaded, but he's mostly like, I believe in what I'm doing, I believe in goodness. And by the end of the series, he is a similar kind of monster.
Oh, what?
But not like the same monster, but like similar. And it and their relationship, well, I think the, I don't remember, because I spent a lot of the last season of Hannibal kind of like watching it from between my fingers, stressed out. But I'm pretty sure they jump off a cliff together. You know, like, oh, it's a, the...
Thelma Louise.
Yeah, it's not great. And it's real, but it is interesting because it is these two characters who the cast reads sort of as queer, who Brian Fuller is portraying as queer, and who the fandom reads as queer, had this ending, but it's not in like a bury your gays way, like that trope where if there are gay characters they probably die horribly, but like just as like this weird almost natural end. And I know that's really weird to say, and I remember that in comparison you had the Voltron fandom killed off a gay character who's briefly shown, like, if not for the fact that the crew went, the relationship he has with Shiro is that they were partners, you wouldn't have known, right? Backlash was like, you guys are the worst, this is horrible, bury your gays isn't a trope you should use. But I don't remember the Hannibal fandom doing that, because I don't know that the Hannibal fandom really saw it as an ending, you know, like, yeah, it was an ending of the series, but it wasn't an ending of Hannagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they don't die.
I don't think we know what happens, because Brian Fuller wanted to do season 4, even with that ending. So I think it's one of those rare open-ended endings that you're supposed to be like, all right, they're probably alive. Maybe in like 5 or 6 years, we'll get a Hannibal movie. And they'll be on the beach in France, like plotting murders. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So now a serial killer couple.
Yeah, that's actually a whole thing in fandom. They're murder husbands. Mm-hmm. That's one of the tags that you see come up a lot.
I mean, I know the trope. But I haven't seen a canon where that's canon.
And I think this is the closest we've had. I know that a lot of people who like villains and anti-heroes, when they come to fandom, they take that. Like with the Star Wars fandom has Kylo Ren and Hux. So they try to make that their murder husbands. But we have Hannibal and Will. Will kills for Hannibal, and Hannibal kills, period. So,
yeah, yeah.
Kind of thing.
So, do you have, like, any favorite moments?
I think for me, the first time that, and this is so weird, and I know this, for the first time that Hannibal feeds Will's dogs, I was like, oh, this is great. He's given them people sausage. And I was like, this is disgusting. But he loves he is so invested in whatever is going on with his relationship with Will that he's like, I'm gonna show up at his house and give his dogs food. And like, nobody asked him to do that.
How sweet.
Like, it's so gross, but it's sweet. It's so gross and sweet. And I think that ending, the actual ending, it's not like oh man, I hope more of this happens in more shows, but for the ending of Hannibal, for a wrap-up to a relationship that is very toxic, and it's acknowledged as much in the show, and, you know, fandom does not literally romanticize it. They're not like, this is hot manipulation. Unfortunately, this is hot is about a lot of other stuff that I also find hot. But the ending is so solid, I guess, that, I mean, and it's an open-ending ending, like I said, so it's literally not solid. We don't know what happens, but that after 3 seasons of this really powerful game of cat and mouse, where these two predators are like moving around each other, because Will becomes a bit of a predator on his own, you get this like, well, this is the only thing we can do. Thelma needs that shit.
And I mean, it's I guess the only other alternative would have been them going down.
You know,
in
like
a hail
at least if you jump off a cliff, you probably might live. Especially if the cliff is metaphorical, because who knows what's going on in Brian Fuller's head? Oh, and they kind of adopted a girl, so they were literally murder husbands. They were closer to literal murder husbands because they adopted the daughter of one of the killers that was in the first season, and so they took her in. Hannibal and Will both gravitated to her because of her complicity in what her father was doing, for different reasons. Hannibal's like, me junior, cool. And Will's like, oh, she's probably traumatized and I need to help her. And even though they were coming at it from different reasons, it was still like, this kid is kind of ours. And I liked the first part of their relationship with Abigail. It did not end well, so I don't like that part. But until then, it was great. Till then.
So you already mentioned that the fandom is very much focused on that ship.
Yeah.
And is it still very active? The show's been off the air for a while now, hasn't it?
It's moderately active. Not just in so there's the fan part, like so the people writing fic and doing art and stuff, but there's also still active academic component. There's I think a couple of books on Hannibal and the shipping fandom itself coming out this year or next year. So you're having people still writing fan fiction. Most of it is canon compliant or post-canon. But you also have like the academics who got into Hannibal are still going, all right, can we continue to talk about why gaslighting is a problem? You know, and it's just so cool. Like, so it's definitely more active than a fandom for like any other show that ended two or three years ago should be, because it wrapped it up. But fandom still went, no, we still want to play with this. And Brian Fuller has always encouraged the fandom, which helps. We're never going to forget that Hannibal was a thing, that Hannagram was kind of a thing, because there are conventions, they do interviews all the time. The cast and Brian Fuller bring up their continued passion for the project, and they're keeping it alive. We're keeping it alive, not just on the shipping side, but just like as a fan community and fan culture, that we bonded over this kind of terrible thing, and we're still here years after, you know. So I'm really interested to see like what will Hannibal fandom look like in like 10 years.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm trying to think of like, I mean of course there's like these old school fandoms which are still active, but this seems really special.
I think I compare it almost, because the Supernatural fandom is really, it's kind of close in terms of like how big it got for what it was, because although I don't think Supernatural is a good show, but that fan base, Supernatural ends this year. Nobody's ever going to shut up about Supernatural. Ever. And that is really cool. I don't, like, not even thinking about the fandom, because that fandom is a very intense fandom, but I do love that they found their people, and they're very, very intent on keeping that space alive. And so the fact that the Hannibal fandom has managed kind of Supernatural levels.
Only three seasons.
Half the people haven't finished reading the books, you know. We only know Thomas Harris because of like his recent author photo where he's holding a possum. It's very it's super cute. He's adorable. Him and the possum. So, like, we're getting this like fandom powerhouse over something that I don't know would have gotten it. I don't know how it became as popular as it did and how it's continuing it. It's so cool.
Especially since it's not like fluff.
Right. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, you already mentioned like some common tropes and stuff. So it's that it's mostly canon based. Are there AUs not very popular?
Okay, yes. But okay, so this is where we talk about ABO, which is my favorite thing.
Yes,
and because I think ABO is fascinating as a trope. Mm-hmm. Most of the AUs for Hannibal fandom, for Will and Graham, Will and Hannibal are ABO, and canon based ABO primarily.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the I'm an FBI agent and he's a cannibal psychologist, but like also I'm an Omega, you know, Will's an Omega and Hannibal's an Alpha, and it's like, oh shit, this is...
Are there anywhere it's the other way around?
There are a few where Hannibal is like the most terrifying Omega ever. I love those. It's definitely like a really good trope. Like one of my stories that I'm recommending, which is by one of my all-time favorite fic writers like ever. I followed her across fandoms. Is an ABO Regency AU.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, this is good. It's like 400,000 words. What?
Wow.
I live for it.
Yeah.
I'm also like, okay, so because of the nature of Hannibal, most AUs, even if it's like nobody's an FBI agent, involve the cannibal component.
Okay.
But there are people who are like, I don't want that either. And I kind of go, well, why did you watch the show? Because I'm terrible. But you can find a surprisingly large amount of just like Hannibal's a single dad to his daughter Abigail. Will is his daughter's teacher. No cannibalism AUs, you know? And those are pretty good too. Like if I'm not expecting it though, I'm like, oh, I feel like there's something missing. And then I have to like wrangle with the fact that I'm like sighing because there's no cannibalism. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, but I guess it is a valid question that why are you a fan of a cannibalism show if you don't like if you can't stand cannibalism?
Right. Oh, like I'm not mad at them or anything. It's just a question. I would like to know why they're doing this to me. Like one time I read the story and I don't remember what it's called, which sucks because it was really good, but it was canon compliant except that Hannibal wasn't a cannibal. And it, I was like, how do you have it listed as canon compliant if the biggest thing about the canon, like, I don't care about Hannibal the psychologist. Don't. Which could also just be a personal problem, you know, on my part. But what else? There's a lot of nobility in the AU. So when they do AUs, it's lots of detective work, lots of nobility. There are a couple stories where like Hannibal is still a murderer, but like he's like a duke, a hot duke. So you get like that historical romance stuff. That like so like if you had the best of historical romance, like Courtney Milan or AJ Charles, who are really good romance writers, and then you also took like the episode of CSI and squished it together, and that's like a lot of what like, the Hannibal historical AUs look like, and they're really fun because I love historical fiction and I love hot murderous messes, so it's like it was great.
Yeah, like I said, you found your people.
Yeah. Oh, I love them.
And you also write your own?
I do not write my own Hannibal fic. I primarily, if I'm writing now, it's original fiction. And like various, like if somebody goes, hey, we're friends, write me this thing, I'll write it. But I've been spoiled by the Hannibal fandom. So I really, at this point, I'm like, oh no, I could not. I love it. I love you guys' stuff so much. That's all I want. I want to bask. But it's good. Eventually, like, maybe, because I wrote fan fiction for Hannibal Rising, like, when I was in high school. It's like 2006, 2007, I think that's when that came out. I was writing fan fiction for that, and then decade later, I'm like, oh no, I'm good, I just want your stuff now. Like, my desire to write was just,
well, if fandom provides,
still,
readers are important too.
I love fandom, honestly, and I don't talk about it that much online, which is actually really weird, but I talk about it all the time offline. So in offline fandom spaces, everyone knows I love Hannibal. Everyone. When I was in college, they were like, they literally called me, and I'm not a cannibal, but they called me one. They were like, all you do is you talk about Hannibal, you talk about Tokyo Ghoul, that's all you talk about. And I was like, well, they're interesting. So I had to, like, fake, it hurts my feelings when you call me a cannibal. You guys can't call me a cannibal anymore. But it was only because, like, I was tired of people in the English department, like, kind of running when they saw me. Because, like, thanks.
Yeah, the cannibal is coming. They gave me a
reputation.
Although I am a little bit envious that you have offline fandom spaces.
I've made my own because I've had to because a lot of times online fandom spaces are really hard to navigate, especially because you're not really allowed a lot of nuance in some things. So I can tell people in people space, I can go to someone and say, I am really invested in Hannibal because of the cannibalism. And they'll look at me weird, but they won't make a call-out post for me. And, I mean, and if you wanted to make a call-out post for me because of my Hannibal interest, that's fine, I guess. But it's literally not a fear I've ever had, like, talking about fandom stuff. You know, because my whole thing is, we are problematic because we are people. That's how that works, you know? And I like figuring out how to be my best self. And I'm my problematic fave, you know? Because we're so much nicer to our problematic faves than we are to ourselves. So I was like, I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to be better all the time. But also, sometimes I just want to read some Murder Husbands ABO and chill.
Yeah. That's a really good attitude to have.
And, like, if anybody goes, hey, can you talk about why Hannibal Lecter and Will is problematic? I can do it. No one ever does. Except, like, you just did. That's it.
Yeah, this is, like, definitely one of the more fascinating ships.
So cool. Oh, still wish there was less gaslighting. Like, just tell him you're feeding him people and that you want him to be your murder husband. Not that hard.
Oh god, feeding him people.
I'm sorry.
Oh boy. I'm going to have to watch something fluffy.
You should
after
watch
this.
Love O2O if you can. It's the fluffiest.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to share about Hannibal fandom?
I guess I just want to say I am thankful to Hannagram fandom for creating really interesting content, for always being really analytical. And I still don't find Mads Mikkelsen attractive, so I barely find Hannibal attractive. But they got me almost there. You know, I was like, okay, I can see this. I can see this. Mentally, though, I am aging Gaspard Ulliel up. Actually, I don't have to. He's like 40 now.
Ah.
So, mentally, my Hannibal Lecter is still Gaspard Ulliel. But I love this fandom, and I need to show that love more, and I'm gonna do that. So, thank you guys. And thank you for letting me do all of this.
Anytime. And do you have, like, recs?
Oh, yes. For us? Oh, yes, I do. I do. Okay. So, my two absolute favorite fics, and I haven't read them in a while, I just know I have a literal list of bookmarks. Knife and Fork by Disenchanted. Mm-hmm. And please don't read any of this. You don't read any of the fics I'm recommending. They're largely super not safe for work and super cannibally.
Okay.
So you can't read them.
I kind of figured from your preferences.
And then Provenance by Drink Blood Like Wine and Whiskey and Spite. So good.
Mm-hmm. Is one of these the ABO one?
No, I'm getting to that one.
I'm getting to that one, okay.
No, I am. I have, so that's Overcoming by Pure Foy's Girl. She was a Harry Potter writer, moved to Final Fantasy VII, mm-hmm. then moved to Hannibal. And I love this story so much. That is pretty much like the best ABO story I've ever read. Mm-hmm. And I read a really large amount of ABO.
So it hits all your buttons.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also recommend, so anything that Purefoy's Girl writes, mm-hmm. I'm in about. Mm-hmm. But also Miss Disoriental has a lot of really good, usually canon-based Hanagram, mm-hmm. which I recommend. They're not very big on warnings in terms of, like, literally no archive warning. It's like, yeah. The author chooses not to use warnings. So that means it could just be like, I don't want to spoil it, to, well, maybe read this in the middle of the day in a brightly lit room. You literally never know.
Yeah. But I guess, and, you know, like, if you read a Hanagram, you have to assume a certain level of gore.
Yeah. Yeah. You should always. Always. And for Miss Disoriental, I recommend The Shape of Me Will Always Be You, mm-hmm. and This Dangerous Game. Those are really good. Mm-hmm. And then I have one more fic to recommend.
Yes.
It is Two Solitudes by, I'm going to pronounce their name wrong, Imungure. I have all the links. I have these links.
Yes.
And I'll email them to you.
Yes, and I'll put them in the show notes. So.
Yeah. And these are all good. They're mm-hmm. good, really meaty or sex meaty.
No boy.
They're fantastic stories, really great writing, really interesting characterization. None of them have, or none of them are marked with sexual assault, but especially Overcoming, because it is an ABO story, does deal with societal imbalance that includes that, mm-hmm. as like something that happens to Omegas. So you do have like, well, this is a very read carefully sort of situation,
yeah.
for all of these. Not just because of the cannibalism, but because half of the stories don't have archive warnings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess people were just like, it's Hanagram, what do you expect?
Yeah. Yeah.
And are there also visual fanworks?
There are, but I don't have any to rec, because I'm usually, when I was on Tumblr doing mm-hmm. the awesome fandom thing, I was very much like a scroll through, you know, fave at random person, mm-hmm. but I'm no longer on Tumblr, so I don't have my likes anymore.
Yeah.
So it's a major bummer, but there are really good, like, really good fan vids and mm-hmm. gift sets on Tumblr. And as far as I know, most of the people that you would count as big name fans in Hanagram are still active.
Okay.
So they're putting their work together and putting mm-hmm. it out there.
Mm-hmm. And so is Tumblr a good place to check yes. out Hanagram?
Tumblr for sure. Twitter is, but you search for Hanagram mm-hmm. In the search thing, you'll see people who create that content or talk about it a lot on their public accounts. I'm a huge fan of the academic side. So there's like EJ Nielsen. They do they're one of my Hannibal buddies. Lori Morimoto, she is a Hannagram stan and one of my favorite people in fandom, and she's great and I love her. Yay.
So you're gonna have to send me links to those as well.
Yes. Please remind me that I've said this. But yes.
Great. Anything else that you wanna rec?
No.
So who will I be talking to next?
You'll be talking to Mia. She is on Twitter. She is Trust Issues Inc. We came together in the DC fandom. We moved to the Teen Wolf fandom together. We moved to Marvel fandom. We yelled about the Voltron fandom together. I've known her for 9 years. I think I've known her for 9 years. She is one of the coolest people in fandom. She has brilliant thoughts, a big heart, and if you think I have few hard limits, she's cooler than me because she is willing to try and read more things than me.
Do you know what ship she wants to talk about?
Well, I know that she's really into Steve and Tony for Marvel because she spent the whole time post Endgame really angry. I would like to garner, just throw it out there that she'll probably talk about some Stony.
Okay. So that would be our second Marvel ship. And again, not mine, but hey.
We'll get there someday.
No, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. I'm just going to be like, yeah, this is not going to talking about half of my OTP. Nope. I get possessive about my OTPs. I have these what I call my big OTPs, where I literally do not want to see them with anyone else.
I'm all about because I'm not creating that much content in terms of my ships. I'm more like, one half of my OTP is in something? Okay, let's do this. Cool. It's the only thing I've got. So I love it wholeheartedly because I'm like, the alternative waiting for my ship to get popular again.
No, but I could totally respect anyone's OTP and I will have lots of fun talking to Mia, I'm sure.
She's really great.
And where can people find you online?
Great. I'm on Twitter as Dychomancery and Stitch Media Mix.
You're going to have to send me that link. I cannot possibly get that right.
I will. And I have a website for media and fandom analysis that I do not update as much as I did prior to becoming a marketing union, stitchmediamix.com. But I do have 5 years of back articles that you could read. People out there listening to this.
Lots of meta,
Lots of meta, lots of analysis. I really hate Kylo Ren, so that happens to be a point of my analysis. And it's not his fault, I guess, but
Holly and I were really good at not talking about Kylo Ren.
He's over 6 feet tall, so I want to like him as an aesthetic. But why is his fandom so intense? Possibly because he's a villain, and villains have intense fandoms, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
But one day I'll find my tall, hot villain. It just maybe won't be Kylo Ren. Captain Phasma is 6 foot tall, too.
Oh, yeah. She's very tall.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes.
Great. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
I had lots of fun despite the frequent mentions of cannibalism.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the thing that happens with me.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what I was in for when you picked your fandom.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse because I have way more. The other ship was the Tokyo Ghoul one, I think. That one, my thoughts on the cannibalism in that series are way more messed up. So
there's cannibalism. I don't, and see, that's a show that I actually don't know anything about. Literally.
Keep it that way.
I've seen the word. I don't even know. Is it a real, is it like a live action thing? Is it an anime?
Anime, 3 seasons, and they have a live action movie for the first, that covers the first manga volume, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not great. I'm not in it because it's great. Because it's interesting and dovetails neatly with my problematic interests. Yeah.
Well, you just own them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. So thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea. The sea, the sea, the sea.
This wraps up our 15th episode. I hope you had as much fun listening to Stitch and myself explore common ground in fandom as we had finding it. As always, you can find links to the things mentioned in the show notes on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. The next episode is scheduled for June 28th, earlier for Patreon supporters. I'll be talking with Mia about Steve Rogers and Tony Stark, aka Stony, a ship that has lots of potential, as anyone who's seen them on screen together can attest to. If you don't want to wait that long, I released the first special episode on Patreon about the steampunk concept band Steam Powered Giraffe. Just sign up on patreon.com/shippingcast as a first mate or above to hear it.
Attune your ears to the grinding gears.
With me, I'll show you how to be a metal man. When the gears are turning and the files are whirling, when the world takes around, your voice is talking all the time, and you live for sleeping, you've never slept because you cannot sleep.
You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as shirazade@fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
Oh yeah, I mean he did X-Men, the old ones. I mean early 2000s.
Oh, that might have been Bryan Singer, who is terrifying.
Oh, Bryan Singer, Bryan Fuller. Oh geez, yeah, I'm missing out my Bryans.
But I've done that too. I've been like, oh yeah, and I've totally gone into detail about how much I hated the wrong Bryan. I've done it.